Hello.
Hello.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 91 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 11th of April, and joining me as always is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Disney pod people.
And sadly, no Kez this week. Kez is away. So it's just the two boys, and we're going to sort of discuss everything Disney as always. But Easter weekend's just come and gone, so how was Easter?
Chocolatey.
Chocolatey. Do you have any chocolate left?
I didn't really have any, to be fair. Well, I had a bit. By default, but no, the kids got it.
How do you have to have it by default?
Because I had to buy so many eggs to get the money off at Tesco, so therefore I ended up with an additional egg to get the money off, so we ate that.
And you end up spending more money than the money off?
No, but then I made a mistake, because I could have gone to her Home and Bargain, got a lot of things I bought at Tesco. I thought I was getting a bargain for, not a bargain, but it's like they did 6 cream eggs for 99p at Home and Bargain.
Bargain. That's really good.
So I bought 6 boxes.
You know we've lost all of our US listeners because they have no idea what a Cadbury's cream egg is.
They must surely Cadbury's do cream eggs in States.
No, Cadbury's doesn't exist unless you're in Epcot.
No, they do exist.
No.
Yes, they do.
Cadbury's
is an American company now, isn't it?
Well, it's owned by Kraft.
Yeah, which is an American company.
Cadbury's USA. No, I don't think Cadbury's exists.
I think they do. Because when I watched Top, which is an American film...
Yeah.
They did a very clever piece of product placement at the very beginning, because it's about the fourth time I watched it. And I hadn't noticed before that one of the eggs that came off the conveyor belt was in a Cadbury's wrapper.
Right. Those of you who listen to this in the USA, you have to tell us whether or not you can get hold of Cadbury's chocolate in the US.
It'd probably be made with soya milk and be like, ugh.
Okay, there you go. We have to try and find that out, because I didn't think you could buy it officially. But there you go. So you've had a good Easter other than that. Which is good.
Yeah, I've had to go and see family, so we've done that. Don't have to do anything to Christmas, though. Woo!
I went away to Newcastle. I went to a wedding in Newcastle. I never asked Easter weekend. And this does tie in with Disney, I promise.
Okay.
And we arrived on the Friday before the wedding, and we decided we'd head to the Metro Centre in Newcastle. Oh, it's not Newcastle, sorry, it's in Gateshead. And the Disney store's there, and I thought, well, now I'll pick up a couple of vinyl nation, something nice. And I walked into the store... and went up to the Vinylmation shelf and was pleasantly surprised. They had the Disney Geek series, Mickey and Minnie. They had the bakery sets, both of which we knew were coming because they were on the US, on the UK Disney Store website. And then right at the top shelf, there was something I never expected to see. And that is the 25th anniversary Disney Store Sorcerer Mickey Vinylmation and Light Up Base. Now, I saw this and I went, why is this here? What's going on? This isn't supposed to be out yet. So I took a photo, tweeted it out to all you wonderful people, and you replied saying, no, that shouldn't be out yet. There's no way in a million years that should be out yet. So I picked up one for myself and walked out the store with it. I also picked up one for Dunks as well because he rang me from the US and said,
what about me?
I want one. Well, I've got one if you want one.
I don't know. What is it?
It's when we talked about them in the past, I don't think you like them very much.
Okay.
So he did. He saw my tweet and texted me and said, can I have one? So I got him one as well. But it was a little bit bizarre because it was like, why are they out? What's going on here? And we know for a fact that they aren't due to be released in the US until the 28th of May. Nobody seemed to know a release date for them at all. And it was really quite bizarre that these Vinylmation had indeed appeared. I did some digging, and we've come up with some information we want to share with some of you guys, because one of the things that seems to be going around the Disney community is this idea of should it be out, shouldn't they be out, why is it there, why is it not there? And from what we know, cast members in the UK, to celebrate the 25th anniversary, were each given one of these light-up Mickeys. The store was given enough for their cast members, but from what we understand, they weren't supposed to be put on sale. But some stores has remaining stock, knew that they were coming out at some point, and we think that they put them out on sale when they shouldn't have done. Now, they were registered on the till system, so they were able to do it. If they weren't on the till system, usually that's the point where they say no. But they just put them out on the shelves. So I picked them up, and lots of other people have picked them up. And it seemed that on somewhere between Sunday and Monday, all of these Sorcerer Mickeys were taken off the shelf. Now, some people have complained about quality issues, some people have complained about, you know, they shouldn't be out yet, etc., etc., and they've all completely disappeared. And there's been some guesses. Some people have been rumouring that there's a recall due to poor quality. Some people have sort of just guessed that maybe they've sold out. So we contacted Disney today, and basically what we've been told, it is not, and I repeat, not a quality control issue. It is not a quality control issue. It's a confusion over when the release date actually is, and they are communicating with the US Disney Store overnight, and we will have a clearer picture tomorrow as to what exactly is going on with this. So it could be that they were sold and they shouldn't have been. They shouldn't be coming out until May. So if you've got one, you're very, very lucky. Now, is this another mix-up with the Disney Store? Is this the headquarters' fault, or is this store manager's fault, do you think, that this has happened?
Mm-hmm. If it wasn't on the till system, then no one would sell it.
Yeah.
So it ain't the store's problem. If I was sat in a store and I go, ooh, and I'd barcode it and it came up and said that, I'll go, well, it must be sellable. If I barcoded it and said no product found, then you wouldn't put it on the counter.
No, because it's not there. So there's been a bit of a mix-up again.
How big are they? Sorry, can I ask? I've got a picture of it.
They're still 3-inch Funimation, but they have the light-up base underneath, which is probably another 2 inches. So it's probably 5 or 6 inches in height in total. That's normal inches, not mine.
How much did it cost?
It's £12. And it comes with that light-up base, and then the rest of the series for the 25th can fit on top of that base, and then you can light up each individual one as you go through. That's the idea. So this is the more expensive one because it has the base with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I must admit, having now
it's
got
pig and ugly.
Do you know, you say that, and I thought exactly the same thing until I looked at it up close, and I actually really quite like it. I think it's actually a much, much better design than it looks in a photo.
Has really it got legs? Like
yeah, it's got feet, yeah, which fit into the base, slot into that
Can
base.
I put any Vinylmation in?
You can put any Vinylmation in it. No, you know, they won't necessarily light up.
Why not?
Because they're not all necessarily see-through, so the light can penetrate. But I actually liked them far more than I thought I was going to. When I saw them I saw them about a week and a half ago, cast member showed me their own. And I really liked it, but it seems that some people now have got themselves a Vinylmation early, and some people haven't got one at all, and we don't really know what's going on. Everyone can get one.
When they come out?
Yeah, everyone will be able to get one when they come out. They'll be available online, they'll be available in the stores, that sort of stuff. What we don't know is when.
A week on Tuesday.
Yeah, we wish. No, nobody seems to know. Even Disney, the Disney store, important people in the know at Disney store are unsure of what the actual date is going to be for these. So we wanted to give you a clear picture. I spoke to the people in the know at the Disney store today, and they confirmed to me that they aren't in stores at the minute because there's a confusion over when they should be released. There we go.
That's a great answer, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But at the same time, at least they were honest.
What they should have done was, it was a pilot phase to see how they'd go, so we know how many to order from stateside, because we want to increase our VMs in all the stores.
Hmm. But it's nice to see some of the new ones that are out now, that we've got the bakery collection. Okay, I'm not a fan, but they are there. Some of them are quite cool. We've got the Mickey and Minnie geeks now. I love the Mickey geek. I bought the Mickey geek at the weekend, which is fantastic. We've got hopefully the 25th stuff coming back out again. There's still a few other bits and pieces floating around as well. Certainly I keep seeing more UK flags in stores, which seem to be spreading from just London. They seem to be spreading further out, which is cool.
So when they do the Olympics Vinylmation,
do you know what? I really wish they'd have done an Olympics Vinylmation, and I don't think they're going to do it, but I just think that would have been a really awesome idea, and sold them exclusively in the London stores. I think it'd be fantastic.
Well, that's it. Penalise everyone else who doesn't live in London.
Well, yeah. No, I think it'd been cool. And then they could have sold them online as well. But,
you know. Thank you.
Right, anyway, that's just something we wanted to update you with the 25th anniversary Vinylmation and what is and isn't happening with all of that. So I suppose we better get on. We've got no pod person, I forgot to say, this week, but it's been Easter and people are away and all that sort of stuff. So we're not going to have a pod person this week, but we have got our usual Disney Brit news and rumours. So here they are.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Okay, Juz, do you want to start us off? Because I believe Brave is making an appearance in parks.
Yeah, I'll start off by saying that Cadbury's, Hershey's make Cadbury's under licence in the United States.
No!
They make Cadbury's cream egg, Cadbury's chocolate cream egg, which we don't have over here.
Oh.
And okay. Cadbury's caramel egg. But it's Hershey's chocolate, so it tastes like poo.
Yeah, because it's not going to be proper Cadbury's, is it?
No, it'd just be soya stuff with a bit of more to put in. Anywho's, Brave, which I never even knew about, but I'm sure we've talked about at some point.
Brave, I love it.
Well, I'm not the greatest movie of Disney. I just like movies.
You're not a big Disney movie.
No, I'm a ride man and a park man. But yes, apparently there's another girlie coming along. A red-headed
Scottish.
Merida. What kind of name's that?
It's a funny one, obviously.
It's obviously not. Is it Scottish?
Yes, it is. It's based in Scotland.
Okay, and it should probably be voiced by some Australian actress.
Mm-hmm.
A la Braveheart. Hey. Anyway, she's coming along down to Disney World and the other Disneyland, which is in California that no one talks about, for a play and greet experience. Now, apparently she has three bear cubs as well, which are prevalent in Scotland, as everyone knows, because you can't go anywhere without tripping over a bear cub. And what they're saying is, well, actually, the concept art looks like they're puppet-animatronics, but no one's confirming this. And Imagineers just say they will be bears. So they could actually be bears if they said that.
Well, yes.
But it'd be curious to see if they're proper, like, little animatronics like they've had testing in other areas. But yes, another girly coming to the parks as a meet and greet. Probably in Pixie Hollow-Bravehearts area. I don't know what I'm making. I'm not sure whether I like the...
You're not sure whether you like it?
Well, I like the bears. They look funny. I don't know.
I must admit, out of all of the Disney movies that have been released over the years, Brave isn't one that I would say has really piqued my interest. It looks okay. I'm sure it'll be wonderful. But I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Exactly. It just doesn't float my boat. But on the flip side of it, John Carter, one of the worst names for a film in the world, looks awesome. I haven't been to see it, but looked awesome.
Yeah,
but Disney said we're going to write off $120 million.
Yeah.
And you think, hang on, Disney sat there saying they're right. That didn't help as well. Disney turns around and goes, after it's just opened in the UK or whatever, and goes, we're going to write off $120 million because the film's that bad.
Well, yeah, think, but...
Hang on, why say that before anyone's actually gone to see it?
They had massive problems, didn't it? They, the critics didn't like the film at all.
I think they didn't. Yeah, the name as well.
Hmm. Yeah, but definitely.
No. But no, it doesn't float my boat. This Scottish lass with the red hair.
Now she's being put into the fairy tale garden in Magic Kingdom. Is this the correct place for it, or do you think it would have been a better fit in the UK pavilion?
No.
So you think it's in the right place?
No. I just wouldn't have it.
You just wouldn't have it at all?
No, I don't. I'm not into the pixie bit. I'm not into her. I like characters that are characters.
But if we think about it from a not-to-you point of view, from the point of view of it being, four guests who are into it,
guests wouldn't be into it.
You don't think they would?
Well, guest one is to go and see a character that isn't a human character, that's fluffy, they can cuddle, it's meant to be an away-from-life experience, and they can have a great time. Not just see some grumpy old face actress who doesn't really want to be there, or changes every time you see her, so no one's sure who she is. No.
But people really took to the Rapunzel meet and greet.
They didn't. They just said they did.
Because they had Flynn, they had Rapunzel, they had...
Who said they did?
The queues said they did, and the response...
Yeah, the kids come out, talk to the kids afterwards, they go, no, I thought it was Mickey Mouse.
Right, it wasn't Mickey Mouse.
Or Pluto. I'm sorry, but I'd rather go and take my kids in a queue to see Pluto or a character.
So you're the classic characters kind of person, aren't you?
No, not if it's even a Stitch or Fleck or any of them. They're funny characters.
Would you not class them now as classic characters? I see where you're coming from. This is kind of a meet and greet for people, for a character that nobody knows, and it's going to open before the film opens, and people are going to go along and go, Do you remember? I remember going to see like Playhouse Disney live on stage when I was younger, and things like that, where they would have... I always remember Stan... was it Stanley? I think it was the kid who...
The one with the Stanley knife that used to cut me.
Yeah, that's the one. There was Stanley, and we used to watch it and go, I have no idea who this is. I've got no clue. And things like when you used to go and see the old Disney Afternoon show in Toontown Fair. Well, it wasn't Toontown Fair at the time, it was Birthdayland and Starland, and you would go and see, and there was stuff on there like Tailspin, I think I remember, was on there, and I was like, I have no idea what Tailspin is, I've never seen this before. And then it did eventually come out in the UK, but it was that kind of, like, in a way, I suppose, the Disney magic is taken away because you don't know who it is. You're kind of going to see somebody and you've got no idea necessarily their character or where they're from, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So when's it due out?
It's not due out till August in the UK, certainly. I'm not 100% sure on the release date for the US.
I'll be curious to see how it does. I mean, if this tanks as a film after John Carter, then there's going to be some serious questions asked about making films that tank. When's the next Pixar movie coming out?
The next Pixar is that one. It's Brave.
Oh.
Because it's the first time.
What are they doing?
It's Brave and now going to go down the fairy tale route for the first time.
Have they ever used people before, Pixar?
They have. Up, yeah. But this is the first time they've stepped away from,
stepped into a Disney genre.
Like a fairy tale Disney genre.
Okay, not going to go and watch it, but there you go.
Okay, I will go and watch it because it's a Pixar movie, and I think I need to go and see it. But we'll see what happens with that anyway. Right, moving on to Epcot, and we're looking at the Italian Pavilion's new wine bar. It's going to be taking over where Tutto Italia was, the lobby anyway of Tutto Italia, and it's called Tutto Gusto. I'm going to read you what it says on the Disney Parks blog so you've got some idea of what this place is going to be like. This Gusto takes over the former lobby space of Tutto Italia and extends back towards Via Napoli. 96-seat Tutto Gusto will be more intimate space with decor inspired by an Italian wine cellar with stone walls and floors and vaulted ceilings and a fireplace in the dining room. Hours will be 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. The chefs have created a small plate menu that takes guests on a fabulous culinary tour of Italy. There are 6 sections and all sorts of wonderful tastes. The effettati, which is like cured sliced meats. There's the formaggi, Italian cheese, panini sandwiches, piccoli, piatti, which is like small plates of food. The cavatappi, which is a type of pasta, and the dolci, which is like sweets, those sort of things. With more than 24 small plates with everything from a taste of prosciutto di parma to creamy burrata cheese and mussels with white wine, we can't wait for a taste. The pasta dishes are all made with cavatappi, a corkscrew-shaped pasta, and include 3 versions, tomato and buffalo mozzarella, shrimp, chilies, garlic and tomato, and a gruler, potato, pancetta, tomato, and asiago cheese, classic Italian. More than 200 Italian wines, including sparkling reds and whites, and beers such as La Rosa, Moretti, and Menabrea will be on offer. Grappas, a distilled drink made from what remains of grapes after they have been pressed for winemaking, will be another specialty, or just sip an espresso or cappuccino. Tutto Gusto is part of the Disney dining plan. Now, my question to you is... is this too soon after the opening of Via Napoli?
Now, you know my views on the Italian food bit. Mm. I don't do it because I can get that here. In fact, I can get it nicer here because now Pizza Hut have decided to put hot dog in its stuffed crust.
Has it really?
Yes, the new Pizza Hut deal now is in the stuffed crust. It's hot dog with free mustard drizzle as well with that. And that's a pizza and a hot dog. I'm having it tomorrow. It's a boys' night in and we're having this pizza stuffed crust with hot dog. It's just great. But, so I don't bother with these Italian places, so I can go and get them when I'm home. However, I really like the look of this.
You do?
Because it's a bit of, it's the tapas thing, isn't it? It's a bit of everything.
Yeah.
It's all there and it's proper Italian bits and pieces. I love the, I really like this, which surprised me. But no, I think this is brilliant.
I must admit, since my Disney cruise last year, I've really sort of fallen for Italian cuisine, and I love the country. And I look at this and I think this does sound something, again, a little bit different to be in Napoli, something that wouldn't necessarily choose in the first instance. But because it's a small plate menu, the chances are it's going to be, well, I hope it will be less expensive. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but just there's a wide range of things there, from, you know, things like sandwiches all the way up to mussels. There's a wide range of food there that all sounds fantastic, just things like the Italian cheeses and all those bits and the pastas and all that sort of stuff.
Eating that, watching Epcot go by.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
The only downside to it is it's right at the very, very back. So you're not going to see much of Epcot going by because it's right in the corner. But it does sound fantastic, and it's good to see that it's on the Disney dining plan. And you know, I might just have to give this a go next time I'm out in Epcot. But does it mean I'm not going to go to Via Napoli? Probably not. I think I'm probably going to have to still head to Via Napoli. But sticking with our theme of food, we're heading over to Disney's latest resort, the Art of Animation.
Art of Animation is looking absolutely awesome-tastic. This is spectacular.
Thanks to Nick again for some amazing aerial photos that he got this past week.
And his helicopter. You can't leave his helicopter out of it. It wasn't just Nick.
He did have his chopper out over
again,
the Art of Animation.
Been told to stop doing that. It's about they've gone and shown on the Disney Park blog all the food which is available from the Art of Animation Resort. And to be funny, it looks really healthy, which is worrying. Other than that, you can also do create your own burgers, which is beef, chicken, or veggie burger. And then you go to the kitchen and pile on your toppings, you know, your pepper jack cheese, pickles, tomatoes, onions, and lettuce, which I love that concept, by the way. So I can fill it up with gherkins, so I think that's great. Also, there are four on-stage tandoor ovens, which the chef will bake bread, roast chicken, shrimp, sausage, squash, and other veggies. This is seriously looking nice. I hate to say, use the word healthy, but healthy food. And it's a departure probably from what you've seen beforehand. You can still, of course, get all your bits and pieces, so there are still pizzas and fries and all that lot. But the food, I think it absolutely looks brilliant. Do you think it's, I don't know, is it going to be a departure from what they normally do? Yes, a little bit.
Yeah. But I kind of like the fact
slightly
that
Moroccan, do you know?
Yeah, and they're trying something a little bit different with a value resort, which I kind of like as well. Because usually when you stay in a value resort, you get that safe sort of food court with your basics, your burgers and your pizzas and all those sort of things. Whereas they're suddenly thinking about trying other things. And I want to stay at the Art of Animation Resort anyway. Even though it's a value resort, I want to go and try it. But now looking at this menu, that's made me want to go even more because of the fact that I'm going to get the opportunity to try other things to what I would find in other value resorts.
It gives the advantage as a parent to say that, okay, if your kid wants a burger, then you can decide what you put on it and what you can fill up on it. So you can fill up the burger with more veggie stuff on it, all that kind of things, and take away from other things. It also says, you know, you look at this and go, actually, the fun of the tandoor ovens is the fact that to see the food getting cooked there. You know, bread tends to get cooked, if I remember correctly, you pop it on the side inside of the oven,
yes,
and it cooks itself and you just peel it off. And it gives that fun food sort of angle of it. So I think you might actually get kids to look at it and go, well, I'll give that a go because it's fun. There's a bit of bread and a bit of everything there. And I think whether they've cut off any criticism in the future or whether they could sit there and go, this is our value resort, yet we offer this food selection. So no one can say Disney is, you know, solely like a McDonald's where it's just fast food trying to pump it to the kids. They're going, we offer a wide choice of foods, even at our value resort.
So we're saying thumbs up, are we?
We're saying thumbs up, grabbing it, putting it in our mouths as quick as we can.
Yeah, definitely. Give it all your food. So good-looking resort. We've got what great theming going on with all the different areas. We've got
where you staying?
Oh, I'm staying in cars. I've got to stay in cars.
See, I'm in Lion King. There's someone else that they were saying Little Mermaid or something.
Well, that's all right. Well, Little Mermaid's a while off, so that's fine.
Well, I just think it's great that everyone has... It's the first resort where people are having a debate about... Oh,
where
are
they
going to
stay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the same thing didn't really happen with All-Star Movies because you had... Well, everyone wanted to stay in Toy Story. and then you had Herbie and you had Dalmatians, but it was like Toy Story was the big one and there was nothing necessary that matched up to that in the other ones. Whereas, yeah, this time it's kind of like, no, I want to stay here, I want to stay here.
Yeah. I think it's brilliant. The conversations that I've had, the conversations that people are having about where they want to stay, I've never seen happen on a resort before, and I think it's brilliant. This is going to be heaving. Best thing they ever could have done. Perhaps look at the movies now or the old sports and just say, how do we change these?
Yeah, definitely. I think that sounds a great idea. I definitely want to be staying in cars, and I'll come and visit you here in the Lion King.
Not telling you where I am.
Oh, okay. I'll just ring your mobile. It's fine. He's there. Why is he stood up on top of that large rock with a small baby in his hand? No, Juz, don't do the Lion King. Bring him down.
Michael Jackson.
Somebody taught me that apparently when you lose your mobile phone signal, the best way to get it back is by doing the Lion King with your phone. I don't know whether that's true or not. It's completely unrelated, but there we go. Let's head back into the parks. We're going to Disney's Hollywood Studios because this past week Disney have released more information about the 2012 Star Wars weekends. I always wonder at what point they might stop doing these because they've not made new movies, etc. But, you know, there's still the demand there for it. People are still going. First one is May the 18th, with the final one ending on June 10th. And they've got loads and loads of new people coming this year. So, some of the returnees, some not so. So let's give you the names of the people for each weekend. So weekend one, which is May 18th to 20th, you've got Ray Park, who played Darth Maul, Jerome Blake, who plays Roon Hako and Mass Amida in Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. And then we've got Dee Bradley Baker, who is the voice of the clone Captain Rex and clone Captain Cody in Star Wars The Clone Wars. The second weekend, the 25th to the 27th of May, we've got Andy Secombe, who plays Watto in Star Wars Episode 1. Ray Park, again, Darth Maul. And Tom Kane, the voice of Yoda, Star Wars The Clone Wars. What do you like, my Yoda?
The voice of Vodafone.
The voice of Vodafone.
Which, by the way, irritates the hell out of me. Why spend a fortune on a franchise and get it in and produce such rubbish adverts?
Do you think he tastes of wasabi?
I just think the adverts are just dire and rubbish. And if you spent that much money, at least spend the money on a scriptwriter.
Yeah, once again, if you're in the US, you won't necessarily know what we're talking about. Although, best adverts ever made using Star Wars characters, TomTom. TomTom advert, Darth Vader, watch it, love it. Where was I? Weekend 3. Which is June 1st to 3rd. You've got Jake Lloyd, who is Anakin Skywalker. You've got Silas Carson, who's Newt Gunray and Kid Addy Mundy from Star Wars Episode 1.
And couldn't say that when you've had a few drinks, could you?
And there's one more to be confirmed. And then weekend 4, June 8th to 10th, you've got Michoni Buriego. I've probably got that completely wrong. Who is Aura Singh in Episode 1.
Sounds like you're making an order at a Mexican cafe.
I am. Jerome Bullock, who plays Boba Fett in Star Wars Episode 5 and 6. You've got Daniel Logan, who's Boba Fett in Episode 2. And Nikki Futterman, who is the voice of Asajj Ventress in Star Wars The Clone Wars. I should watch Star Wars The Clone Wars just so I can get all these names. Interesting, we've got a head-to-head between the two Boba Fetts on the fourth weekend. That would be quite cool. But also, as well as that, there's going to be the usual stuff that you expect. Hyperspace Hoopla. Have you seen Hyperspace Hoopla?
No.
It's awesome. It's the most ridiculous thing. I think it was either last year or the year before they had Darth Vader doing Michael Jackson with the glove and everything. Brilliant.
Well, I have. I tell a lie.
It's very funny. That's happening under the Sorcerer Mickey, or in front of the Sorcerer Mickey hat on the stage at the end of Hollywood Boulevard. It's scheduled to happen at 8 p.m. each evening of the event. Autograph opportunities, once again, will be going on. They will be offering the FastPass style system for all of that. And there will also be several other events, including things like Star Wars themed talk shows, behind the scenes presentations, as well as the gala, Legends of the Force Parade, and much, much more. You can go to DisneyWorld.com to find out more about that. And it certainly sounds like it should be yet another good weekend for those people who are big Star Wars fans. Would it draw you in yet? Have you?
Yeah.
Would you go?
I quite like, well, it's mad busy, so that's the downside of it. But no, it's always quite appeal to me. Even though I'm not the greatest Star Wars fan in the world, it appeals to me. No, first one was great.
I'm the same, but as a sort of movie fan, I'd want to go. I don't think I'd queue up for the celebrity autographs and that sort of stuff. I'm not interested, but just for the atmosphere and all that sort of stuff, I think it'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Right, let's jump on a plane, and we're flying over to the UK, actually. We're going to Disneyland Paris via the UK, because Disneyland Paris and Disney Store UK have brought up a, well, I think it's a first time they've ever actually done this. And it's to do with Disneyland Paris merchandise.
Yeah, the 20th anniversary merchandise is all out, not only in DLP, but in the Disney Store UK, meaning you could pretend you've gone, but not really gone, while you sup your mug of coffee at work. Can I just say, I don't have a moan.
I think we're going to differ on opinion on this one.
I think it looks like tat.
Okay.
I think that they've got poor font. They've pulled out some old characters. It looks dreadful. And some of the products are just dreadful.
So which products in there are you not a fan of?
All of them. I think the whole concept is poor. I think the 20 looks poor. What they've done with the characters is boring and stale. I don't know what they could have done. Although I do in some ways, because what I'd like to also add is that there's a new signature range coming out that looks like it might be retro.
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know, what I would have done with these products was make them retro.
Right.
Retro style, a bit sort of, you know, chipped away in, faded look, style of Mickey characters and all that lot. Very much like the T-shirts and everything else you can get at the moment. So, yeah, I think I hate it. I think it's gaudy and horrible. If this retro stuff comes out, I'll definitely be there.
Right. Now, I'm kind of on the other... My shoe's on the other foot with this because I like the fact that we can now get Disneyland Paris products at the UK Disney Store. For years, they've been doing it in the US and they've been... been able to get the Vinylmation, Park Vinylmation, all that sort of stuff in the US, when no matter where they are. So I'm really pleased to see that we can now get Disneyland Paris 20th anniversary stuff in the UK. Now, having said that, I don't think there's a problem with a lot of the things that are on there, because they will sell very well. There are a lot of people who will buy those things. Me personally, I wouldn't buy the products that are currently on sale on the website, because it's not the sort of thing that I would buy. It's not the sort of thing I would necessarily wear. I am not the sort of person who will buy T-shirts that have the bright, contemporary-looking Mickey and all those sort of things on them. I'm very much like you are, Jers, where I would go for the retro stuff. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the stuff that's on there. It's fine, but it's not what I would buy. The good news is the fact that there is this, what looks like to be a new signature range coming that looks a little bit retro. Now, if they're bringing out a retro range, I will be there with bells on, I tell you. I will be buying up things left, right and centre, which would be fantastic. Now, are the Vinylmation coming? We don't know. What I do know, because, again, I had a conversation with somebody at Disney this past week who actually rang to say, we've got all the new 20th anniversary stuff online. What do you think of it? And I sort of gave them my opinion of what I thought of it all. And they were very, very quick to tell me that this is not it. This is not everything that's coming out. There will be more stuff online in May. There'll be even more stuff coming out in June. So although there's 18 or so items on there at this moment in time, there's going to be loads more stuff that's coming as well. So do hold out for things like the Vinylmation and what looks like this signature range. It looks like it's going to be fantastic, I hope.
Could I add something to this?
Mm.
And it's not related to this one at all. I'll just put a link there for you.
Okay.
I'd just like to say, if anyone's interested in getting sort of slightly retro-looking sports Disney wear...
No, don't tell anyone.
Sportsdirect.com.
No, don't tell them, because I've got some of this stuff.
Have got an unbelievable selection of T-shirts for £5.
I have.
And hoodies, which are really good, because my daughter got them. We got several things through. I admittedly have to lose a bit of weight before I can fit the ones that got me. For $7.99. So they are retro, aren't they?
Yeah,
slightly
awesome
retro
ones.
Sportswear. They are brilliant. They are five at a pop at the moment.
And
for
hoodies
t-shirts
are $7.99.
$7.99.
The hoodies are cheaper than they were when I bought mine. That's not funny.
Yeah. So yeah, my daughter is fully kitted out this week. An unbelievable buy. But yes, I think it's a great Disney buy. That's my credit crunch tip for the week.
He's generally right though. The stuff that is on there, there's some fantastic sports stuff on there, of which I've got a couple of T-shirts and I bought a hoodie as well. And they're really comfortable as well. They're actually really good quality.
The hoodie was, we were worried it would be a bit too thin, but it's really nice fitting. But no, my daughter's chuffed. And
which hoodie did she go for?
The same as my T-shirt, which is the lots of different Mickey sports one with the stars on.
Yes, I know the one you're on about. But that is actually a very, very good shout from Jus, actually. It's well worth going to have a looking over there and seeing all the stuff that they've got that's actually pretty...
Until the signature ones come out.
Until the signature ones come out, of course. But the fact that they're that cheap is pretty good. So sporksdirect.com, do check that out, definitely. Right, OK, so that is our merchandise stuff that we're looking forward to arriving. But as you know, Disneyland Paris have begun to kick off the 20th anniversary celebration. On the 31st of March, they had the what we could basically class as the opening ceremony, which was introduced by the ambassadors. It was also introduced by Dutch singer Fabian Bergman, who sang the theme tune, the new theme tune to the Disney Magic Parade, Magic Everywhere. And also Salma Hayek, which is an interesting choice, I thought, came and officially began all the celebrations that happened. I think it was 10 a.m. on the 31st of March. Now, that's all now sort of really kicked off. We've got all these new costumes that you'll be able to see with all the Disney characters. Disney Magic on Parade, new parade. I don't know whether I like it or not. I'm going to reserve judgment until I see it live. I've watched it on video. It's okay. I don't know whether I'm going to be a massive fan. We've got the 20th anniversary celebration train. That's there again. They've just repainted it stripy, colourful colours. We've got, though, Disney Dreams. Now, have you had a chance to look at Disney Dreams yet, Jos?
No.
It is. You've got to watch it. It is phenomenal. Honestly... think of Fantasmic meets the Magic Memories and You meets World of Colour. It is absolutely astonishing what they have managed to do with this. And I don't want to give too much away, because in a little while you're going to be hearing some audio from a presentation done by Steve Davidson and some of the creative team about Disney Dreams and about the whole celebration that's going on there. But this is truly stunning. You've got fountains, you've got water screens, you've got fireworks, you've got lasers, you've got the entire 3D mapping of the entire Sleeping Beauty's castle. It is just stunning to watch, genuinely stunning to watch. It's about 20 minutes long in total. The fact they've taken away Central Plaza gives everybody the perfect opportunity to see it. You've not seen this yet, head over to disneybrit.com, and there is a... there's an article which actually is Disney Paris celebrates their 20th anniversary in style, and it's got videos on there from the opening ceremony, from the parades, even from the dedication ceremony in the evening by Philip Gass, and then the actual Disney Dreams show itself. If you don't want to see it before you go to the parks, then, you know, leave it spoiler free, but it's a phenomenal show. I really cannot speak highly enough of it. They have done such an amazing job on this show. Yeah, Jos hasn't seen it.
He's probably yes, watching they have. It right it's now. It's amazing.
He's probably watching it right now. Sat there listening to it. But it is. It's the best of the elements from all these different shows that they brought together. Centered around Peter Pan and his shadow and all that sort of stuff.
Cool.
So do check that out. And I think that's all the news we've got. It is. That is everything that we've got for news and rumours for this
everything.
Week. Everything. Indeed, everything. So, next up... you're going to hear our Red Box conversation.
Woohoo!
Hi everyone, this is Craig Duncan. Please come and join me for my soul show every Sunday at 9 o'clock UK, 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll only find me on Orlando Sky Radio. Come by and say hi.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, Governor.
Governor? Hello. How did you know I was English?
Say what?
What's your name?
My name is Cameron.
Your name's Cameron?
James Cameron Beardo. Yeah.
Okay, and well, this is the Disney Brit podcast, and we are from the UK, and we ring the red telephone boxes in Epcot to say hello to people. So hello.
Hello.
I love the fact that you answered hello, Governor.
What?
I love the fact that you answered with a proper
hey,
British accent.
I can't hear anything.
Who are you there with?
What?
Who are you there with?
Oh, my friends. I have friends. They're nice.
And I take it it's spring break?
It's spring break.
And you're there for spring break?
Yes, and for a band, actually.
Where
marching band.
You're a marching band? Oh, wow. Yeah. And from where?
from Missouri.
Okay. I don't know the US very well at all, but you've decided to come
me
to
Epcot. Neither.
Okay. You decided to come to Epcot today? Are you spending all day there?
Yes, until, about 10 o'clock? Yeah.
Okay, and you're going to see Illuminations?
See what?
You're going to see Illuminations this evening, the fireworks display?
Yes, we are.
Okay, and whereabouts are you guys from? I know the marching band's from...
Where are we from in Missouri?
Yeah, whereabouts in Missouri?
Do you know where Joplin is? They had the F5 tornado recently.
Oh, right, okay.
It's north of there.
Oh, you all survived the tornado, which is good. So that's good. So
we didn't have a tornado.
Oh, you didn't have a tornado. That's good.
We're just close to there.
Well, I hope you have a fantastic spring break. Is Epcot busy today?
What?
Is Epcot busy today?
Yeah, it's very busy.
Very busy. And is it hot?
Oh, it's about 90 degrees, 80 degrees.
Wow. And you're marching in that today, or?
No, we marched Friday.
You marched Friday. Well, at least you've got that out of the way, which is good. And it went well?
Yeah, we got a superior rating.
Wow. That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's
I assume
cool.
so.
Well, anyway, thank you for picking up the phone in Epcot, in the UK Pavilion, and speaking to a strange Englishman on the phone.
No problem. You too.
I will let you enjoy the rest of your day.
Have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye. We were going to bring back the Around the World in 80 segments and we were going to look at Living Seas today, but then this came up and I thought it was something that we had to, absolutely had to, bring to you guys because it was so interesting, full of detail. It was a phenomenal thing when I watched it and listened to it. And that was during the press launch of the new 20th anniversary celebration at Disneyland Paris. There was a very, very special question and answer session and presentation held by some of the important people at Walt Disney Imagineering. They were Kat DeBlau, who is the creative director of Disneyland Paris. We have the show director, Katie Harris, and the VP Parades and Spectaculars, Steve Davison. Now, Steve Davison doesn't usually work in the US. He actually... not the US, in the Paris. He's usually in the US. But he was the creative mind brain behind Disney Dreams. And actually, he spent a month in Paris beginning to piece everything together, program the show, all that sort of stuff. So what you're going to hear next is the audio from this particular question and answer session that took place in the Plaza Gardens restaurant in Disneyland Park. Now, it is a lengthy one. It's about 42 minutes or so. About 48 minutes, I think. And I don't want to sort of apologise for putting such a lengthy piece of audio in because I actually think it's a very, very interesting talk. Reveals so much great insight into the new Disney Dreams and all those elements, because actually the majority of it is about Disney Dreams. So what you're going to hear now is that particular audio from the question and answer session.
You even have a poster. Disney 20th anniversary celebration train. I know that you have all seen the structure of this train before. No surprises there. We started using the train for the 15th anniversary with the characters coming out and meeting with our guests in front of the castle. And over the years, we've tried different things with it, and it's such a successful product that the guests just love meeting the characters. So for the 20th anniversary, we decided to completely redecorate the train in all of the wonderful colours to link into the parade and also into the whole message of the 20th anniversary, all about the light and the colours and the transformation and the magic. So who better to put on the train than our VIP characters? You know, it's very difficult for our guests sometimes to find the characters. We've got these fantastic new costumes for the 20th anniversary. And we always see them in the parade or we'll see them in the show, but we never really get the opportunity to have our pictures taken with the characters in those costumes. So this is an ideal opportunity. And that's why we decided to bring the train back for the 20th anniversary. New music written specifically for the train, and also a new BGM which will accompany the meet and greet section as well. So it is completely new. And I think it's a real great opportunity for us to all see the characters in these fantastic costumes. I don't know whether you've had the opportunity to see the costumes yet.
This morning.
I mean, they're sparkling, they're bright, they're colourful. Minnie was out on the stage earlier doing some pictures. And, you know, we don't have a great blue sky today, but that costume, the pink, just like, wow. So you can see it, and it's very magical. So here we are with our 20th anniversary celebration train for the next year. So make sure you get lots of pictures. Yes, your turn.
Yes, oui. Oh. Si vous ne comprenez pas, levez la main et Cathy traduit parce qu'en fait, ils travaillent vraiment ensemble.
Ok, vous faire en français aussi? We do two languages. You do French, I do English.
That's why.
I've been trying to try for the last month, but...
So, I have no artwork, just the castle, to show you. So, about 2 years ago, they asked us to look at a big 20th anniversary spectacular. Something that was big and grand, that was transformational, that was light and color, and would tell a magnificent story like we do in all of our other theme parks around the world.
Donc, il y a deux ans, en fait, nos arrivistes ont demandé à Walt Disney Creative, Disney Imagineering Creative Entertainment, en Californie, de réfléchir sur un spectacle qu'on pourrait faire pour notre 20e anniversaire, que comme dans les autres parcs, quelque chose de grand, quelque chose de nocturne, quelque chose qui emmène la magie, la lumière, les couleurs. Et donc, la tâche a tombé sur les épaules de Disney.
So a whole new kind of genre that we're working with is video mapping and taking this technology and putting it on the castles.
Donc le niveau technologie aujourd'hui de mapping en projection, le mapping 3D, on voit sur les grands monuments parfois dans les villes qui sont les monuments plats. C'est quelque chose vraiment du niveau qu'on travaille sur les châteaux. Ils ont commencé un peu dans les autres parcs, mais vous allez voir, on a poussé très loin.
So we decided to use that and anchor a show in it and basically kind of take us into what we initially started with was the idea of dreams and what are Disney dreams and how can we tell that story.
Donc, après l'idée de ce mapping 3D en base du spectacle et voir comment on peut illustrer les histoires, sachant que le thème était vraiment les rêves Disney, et comment on pouvait illustrer ces rêves, sous quel format, sous quelle matière, quel choix des rêves, évidemment.
And when we were here early on, and I was at the hotel, this is the big inside secret to the show, actually. I kept seeing Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. They were on the doors, they were in all the designs in the hotel, and I'm like, you know, Peter Pan is really a fantastic character, and we really haven't told a grand story with him.
Donc, en fait, l'inspiration est venue une fois, Stephen était dans les hôtels Disney, et voyait partout Peter Pan. Vous savez, parfois, sur les portes, on a les gravures, sur les papiers peints, et Peter Pan n'arrêtait pas de sortir devant ses yeux. Et donc, c'était vraiment là qu'il a dit, on n'a jamais fait une grande histoire avec Peter Pan en vedette. La naissance de l'histoire est partie de là.
And Kate and I worked and we really started to play with this idea, how can we take Peter Pan? And the idea of the shadow came up about using a character that doesn't speak. And the character can go from Disney story to Disney story. And in a sense, he's kind of the everyman that takes us into these new worlds in crazy new worlds.
Ensuite, on a commencé à travailler ensemble. Et c'était vraiment comment Peter Pan pouvait nous faire vivre ces histoires. Parce que Peter Pan, il peut transverser les mondes. Donc, c'était vraiment un bon fil conducteur. Et aussi, notre spectacle, vu qu'on est ici en France et on sait qu'on a énormément de langues dans le parc, que nos guests ne parlent pas que anglais ou anglais-espagnol. Donc, on voulait avoir un spectacle, mais il n'y avait pas beaucoup de textes. Et donc, Peter Pan, c'était idéalement facile.
So the last 2 years, we've just developed the show with Creative Entertainment here in France, our friends at Feature Animation, our friends at Pixar, and so it's been kind of a huge company effort to actually make all this come together.
Donc ensuite, on a collaboré entre les équipes ici, à Paris, les équipes en Californie avec Steven. On a eu les studios d'animation Disney aussi qui étaient très impliqués, Pixar qui était très impliqué, et les spécialistes vraiment du monde entier pour les autres éléments du spectacle. Et on a fait les concessions de travail tous ensemble.
So I think the wonderful thing that you'll see tonight is how the show really isn't technology, it's a grand story. It's a grand kind of vision coming to life through a lot of different techniques kind of blended together in new ways that we've really spent weeks and weeks and weeks, all night long, perfecting.
Mais le spectacle n'est pas juste la technologie, en fait c'est vraiment une histoire, c'est vraiment un voyage et je pense que vous allez vous poser la question alors comment ils ont fait ça, parce qu'il y a tellement de couches qu'on ne voit pas toutes les technologies qui est derrière. On a passé les nuits, les semaines des nuits entières à mettre tout ça en place avec une programmation et je crois que vous allez vraiment voir un grand spectacle avec une grande histoire au niveau de la chose.
And what's wonderful, this is a ground-up show specifically for Disneyland Paris. There was rumors that this was for Walt Disney World, and that's not true at all. This was created specifically for here. A brand new soundtrack by Joel McNeely, that's fantastic. All the imagery that we put together, all for Paris Disneyland.
Ce spectacle était vraiment, vraiment créé pour lui. Il y a les rumeurs qui ont été créées au début pour Walt Disney World. C'est pas du tout vrai, c'est vraiment créé pour nous ici à Paris. Et toute la musique aussi, c'était créé pour nous par Joel McNeely. C'est un grand compositeur qui a travaillé sur le film de Paris, par exemple, parmi d'autres, le Tour de Neverland. Et il a fait un super travail sur la musique. Vraiment, les arrangements et les compositions, ils sont vraiment magiques.
Go to questions now.
Est-ce que vous avez des questions?
Je suis sûr.
No questions again.
I would like to know what were about the Sleeping Beauty. What were the difficulties to work on the Sleeping Beauty cast?
It's a very dimensional castle, so it took 3 months just to laser map the actual structure. And then we built a model of it in California that we could project on and test. So before we even came here, we were testing in California to figure out how to make it flat, really, in a sense. Because at times it's very three-dimensional, at times it's very flat. It was probably the most challenging part, because if you watch the show from many different angles, all the images wrap the castle. It is not a flat piece of magic. It is totally 360. There are projectors from the side, there are projectors from the front, but everything crosses each other. So you have digital maps that literally overlay and wrap every single surface in ways that are mind-boggling, actually.
Do you think it's more easy to do the show with an element group like that, or more easy something plain like one color? I mean, I guess all this helps to do the show, or it's a challenge.
I love it because it's a hard surface. Each show's different. World of Color was all water, so it was learning how to play with water and tell stories in water. This was very much a combination because we have the castle, there's laser activity that happens with all the projection on the castle, then how we integrate the water, how we integrate the fireworks. Took a lot of time because shows have to teach you. You have to come and start to paint, and once you start to paint, you're like, well, this works really well, let's try this, and you spend quite a few weeks just experimenting, because everyone thinks that, oh, it's done, you just come in, you project it, and we're done. No, everything's unique, because once you put it in, you finally get to see it. At that point, I'd seen a model that's 3 meters high, with projection model. And so we did a couple tests early on, and then we learned from that, and then we started to really develop the show.
Do you have any plans to change segments of the show, or do you add segments based on seasons or Disney movies?
I think it will. We've been asked, you know, what's great about the show is that all the technology that's here is permanent. That all the projection locations, everything once it's finished, will disappear. And basically is a solid infrastructure that you can use throughout the year for Disney Dreams, other shows. But I do think in years to come that we will, Disney Dreams is made in sections. So we don't have to go to a step in time. We could take the Mary Poppins section out and come in with a brand new movie if we want to, or another classic. And that's what will be fun, is it'll always change, like World of Color does. World of Color, we've changed 4 or 5 times since we've opened. And even this summer, we're actually going to do a new piece that's coming. And that's what's great, is that it always keeps it fresh. So you come in and go, oh, that's new. And but even with the technology, we can go back to the original show by pushing a button. And between one day and the next day, we can actually go back to the original show or the third version of the show. So all that's kept. Yeah, we don't lose anything. So the adventures can come and go, and it'll be fun.
Change a queue one night and we come back in the next night. Why did we do that?
That's very sophisticated stuff, which is beyond me. Katie and I just have fun.
Press the buttons.
How did you choose the scenes you used? Like which movies you took them from? How did you make that decision?
Originally, when we wrote the show, there was probably twice as many characters in it. And a lot of it was how could we take the little guy on an adventure? How could the shadow go on an adventure? And what were the best adventures? So you just start brainstorming, you start to put things up, you know, does he float up on Winnie the Pooh's balloon and go into another adventure? I mean, there were hundreds of storyboards, and a lot of it was music driven too. Because music really drives the show, that it is kind of the heart and soul of it, and the visuals work with it. So it kind of was music. Some things we chose Quasimodo because it is Rick Moranis, and it was great. And a lot of people were like, well, why are we doing that? I'm like, because it is beloved here, and we wanted to do that. Plus being able to kind of do Notre Dame on the castle was very cool and a big challenge. You know, how can we take icons here and really kind of transform the castle in different ways? So it was a whole mixture of things, that some things came, some things went, and it changed. Well,
yeah.
When you look at the beginning and where it ended, it's fascinating actually to see where it, and some of it was music too, because when you get your other partners in, they say, well, what about this? Why don't we try this? Or the media designers go, well, let's do this. And it's always evolving. I think that's why these shows work so well, that they're not locked from day one, like this is all you can do. And it evolves over time. And that's what I love, because when you get here, there are things that got cut, things that changed, and it's all because you strive for the best as you go and merge.
Is that something that you tried to do, but that was impossible?
Yes. There was an interesting idea of projecting on the water screens, that there were back projecting on the water, but I wanted to see if we could front project on it too and align the images together so we would get double brightness. Well, that doesn't
work. Not yet. We're not doing that technique.
Because what we found out actually is that when you do that, the alignment's so complex because the projection on the front is so warped to the castle. When you project it on the water screen, it's kind of like you don't know what it is. It doesn't. It was so hard to realign it. Yeah.
The water moves.
So that was one big aha.
Est-ce que vous pouvez me raconter comment l'idée a germé en fait? C'est une idée des équipes de Paris et puis on vous a appelé pour vous dire viens nous aider pour faire le show, ou c'est à Glendale que l'idée a été créée en fait pour le show?
Where did the idea come from? Paris, you and Glendale?
Do you think we want a show? Paris, Glendale saying you need a show. No, it came from Disneyland Paris. They wanted a big show for their anniversary, and they actually looked at 4 concepts originally. There's a lot of different things going around and settled on doing dreams.
But
C'était toujours appelé Dreams.
Et qu'est-ce qui vous a mis sur le projet? En fait, c'est Tom Fitzgerald qui vous appelle pour vous dire Steve, tu vas faire le show, ou dans les équipes de l'engineering, en fait, comment ça se passe exactement?
It was actually marketing. Marketing to us. Because it was, if they marketing wanted a big nighttime Kiss Goodbye. Because they never had one. And so it really started with marketing. And I mean, everybody's worked on it. Tom Fitzgerald's helped us with this. Gas, I mean, everyone has really helped make Disney Dreams come to life. I just sit in my office and somebody wants a show. Because we work so far out on so many different shows. Like, we're working on a new parade for Tokyo right now. And while I was here, Tokyo flew to Paris to actually see this show, but to also work on their new project too. So we're always constantly working on Sunday, Sunday.
You guys are working on the storyline. You were thinking of European audience, or do you think a different show works here?
We think of all those things, that with my lovely partners here, you know, knowing this audience and what we do in English, what we do in French, was a lot of decisions too. Everyone worked on the show. John Lasseter worked on the show. He weighed in on the story and what we were doing with the shadow. Same with Tom Staggs worked on it. Everybody. I mean, it was, you had a lot of meetings. And it was great because that's how the show's really evolved, especially with the shadow, because especially with John Lasseter, he's such a child that we wanted him to do fun things. So a lot of that, you'd meet with him and we'd talk about it and we'd come up with funny ideas because they are truly animated. So it was really great to have that kind of connection in with the studio.
How many people can
do this
look at the show from the cast?
Do you know the number?
It's
high.
Yeah, it's like 15,000. Yeah. Because you really get a good view from almost everywhere.
Even on the right side? Just where you're
even here. Around about halfway past the stage? Because further on we have limited zones for some of the pyrotechnics. So it didn't make any sense to keep going where you couldn't get the people to go anyway. So it's a good 3/4 around. But actually, last night I was way up almost at Town Square. I could see that. I still felt very immersed in the magic. So it's sort of giving our audience also a choice. Do I want to be squished back 3 against 3, like when I try to see the parade on Main Street? Or do I have a little space to hang out? Wow, it's all good. It feels good. So it's a very environmental. It just brings the castle to life. The castle is big.
It'll be fun for people that come here a lot. Like we went, because we go watch the show from everywhere to make sure that it's working. And over by Castle Stage, the fountains are very close to you. The pyro is very close, and it's a very different show. Plus, there's specific projectors for that side. So if you go over there, there's little things that appear that if you're watching it from the front, you'll never know that are over there. So you can watch it many times. We have hidden a lot of things in the media, so you will watch the show a lot going, oh, what's that?
Oh, they added that.
We did that with World of Color. There's a lot of layers to these shows on purpose because you watch it. Like if you watch the little Step in Time guys, each one does a little funny different thing. So you can have your favorites, actually, if you go and watch them enough and really kind of break it apart about how we kind of put it together. It's complex, but it's not. It can be as complex as you want it to be. But overall, it's just a crazy entertaining show.
Were special pyrotechnic effects that never existed before?
Well, to be honest, no. What we did for this show is we made them daily use. That when you do your kind of special event shows, they have to cordon off so much of the park that you can't get that close to them. Eric Tucker, who does my pyro designs for all my shows, actually worked a lot to make this pyro daily use. So you can use it all the time. So it doesn't have a lot of fallout. So it's very park friendly. actually.
Enables us to keep a larger a part of the park open to guests, and it had to be specifically designed, had to find a new formula, the powder and mix.
And also for sound concerns, maybe also?
Yeah, we went through all that. There was a lot of, because they want to run the show quite frequently, that we had to reach a very certain sound design, which we did. We're actually under it, so we can run the show. And there were some things that came out because they were too loud. So, you know, that's how you learn. You're like, oh, let's lose that. You're like, oh. And then you come up with different ways to do it. It forces you creatively to go, okay, I don't get that. What else can we do creatively to kind of cheat and make something fun? Not cheat, really, but how do we use what we have to really take it over the top? And what's great about the show, too, is that the show can function in very many conditions. If it's high winds and you can't use the fireworks, we can still run the show. The show, the media, we've seen it many times with just the media. The media is so stunning that you can watch the whole show without fireworks. You can take the water out, you wouldn't know. Fire can come in and out if you need to. So it's really built if one thing needs to come out for the show that night, you'd never know. And we've seen that.
Yeah. Talking about water, is there a splash zone that I should stay clear of for my camera?
Actually, the water's been interesting because it's actually pretty good. You don't get a lot of spray. It was really windy the other night for the cast premiere, and I was right in the front, and I didn't get any water at all. I wasn't wet at all. We did have some craziness on the drawbridge because you would do the fountains and it became a river. And so early on the first week, I'm like, oh my god, we created a river. So they've actually, the park was great. They went in and put the new drains in, and we don't see that anymore. But we were freezing it too, because the water screens create such a mist. When it was really cold at night, it would land on the drawbridge and it was ice skating. So it's really fun.
Test and adjust.
Est-ce que tous les éléments techniques sont cachés là? Parce que j'ai vu qu'il y avait des écrans d'eau en soi. Est-ce qu'ils vont être thématisés?
Yeah,
all the
equipment hidden. It's still
seen. It will. Yes. Some stuff moved when we got here. So projectors moved. We changed the mist heads. So the decor that was made for that had to be changed. So in several weeks, all of that will disappear. We were just behind the whole thing, but it will all go away.
Salted water? I don't think so.
You know, it's part of the natural system of the park.
Il n'y a pas d'antigel pour l'hiver?
Je pense pas qu'on
va
chercher.
Parce que cet hiver, c'était vraiment gelé.
Oui, mais le système de fontaine, en fait, ils ont un mécanisme, je ne sais pas trop comment ça marche, mais ils ont un mécanisme qui n'est pas gêné par le gel. En fait, ça va aussi être un eau qui va rester en mouvement. Donc, elle ne va pas être statique. Et là, c'est toute la nouvelle chose que, au fur et à mesure, on ajoute, justement. Et là, on rentre dans le beau temps. On a un peu le temps de figure it out, right? Après, c'est vrai que si on a météo comme on a eu cette année, de toute façon, tout ce qu'on peut faire avec l'eau, à un moment donné, avec une glace comme ça, des faits, on fait des chaussons. C'est la passion à Saint-Fontaine.
Oui.
Le gel à Pichuel, ça gêne pas.
Bonjour.
We have a space of
cold
that we did this year.
Yeah, the fountains won't freeze. They have heaters and other things in them, so we actually can use them year round. I think they're showing it today. There's some daytime shows that you'll see that are fun, and those are going to grow with different songs. And what's great is that it's the first park to have that. None of the other parks have a kind of beautiful fountain in front of their castle that can do shows. So we'll do daytime shows off and on, and we're going to start playing with that, I think.
Yeah. Is this, you left, you need to play to describe
Surprise.
Yeah, I'm just seeing little squirts of World of Color by these the very last thing. Well, in our show, we have the magic fish. Look for the magic fish. Yeah, it was something our laser designer designed, and they're so good, we put them in the show. But they're in the after show. You'll see them. Everyone will go, why are they in the show? And really, it's because of imagination. It's because the whole end song that Joel wrote, Come Dream to Dream, it's really about that. It's about, you know, follow your dreams, and you can be anything that you want to dream. And so all these beautiful images and lasers come off the castle, like butterflies and fish, and you actually see the shadows swimming in laser animation. And it looks so fluid, you have no idea how complicated it is to make those images. It is really, really tricky, because Claude LaFont, who did the lasers, would take the actual animation pages and he would scan them all. And then he puts them into the computer and basically animates these characters. And by the time they're done, they're fantastic. So some things are in the show, some things we didn't need to use in one year. Because it's so cool.
Today is a very important day for the creative team, but I think that Thursday was a really very important day for the creative team because it was the first public performance. But how do you feel? What were the reactions?
It was great. It was really great. We were nervous at first because some of our computers decided not to talk to each other right when they said, on with the show. And so we're like, in these previews, that happens. But you're very nervous because you're not sure how people will react. You have a feeling of how it will go. But until we get an audience there and you hear them react, it's very different. And it was great. I mean, the cast loved it, which was wonderful. I got many messages personally from the cast, which was fun, because they're like, you brought this new magic. It makes me proud to be a cast member here. And that's really, really wonderful. It's what we do.
Is there a mouse?
Est-ce que le spectacle va évoluer en fonction des saisons, Halloween ou Noël?
Will the show evolve for Christmas?
Yes.
Oui, on va continuer à expliquer en anglais que le spectacle est bien, les scènes qu'on peut changer facilement. Tout est fait en serpent. Mais est-ce qu'on va le faire tout de suite? Je ne pense pas. Mais éventuellement, oui, on peut faire une version Halloween, Noël. Même si on a un nouveau film qui sort, on peut changer une scène. Donc c'est vraiment très malléable pour rajouter et changer comme ils ont fait ce mois de temps.
Mais vous avez la musique qui est quand même à la base qui a la continuité du spectacle.
Oui, mais ça aussi c'est une question d'écriture musicale. Mm. Si on veut, on sait qu'on veut insérer une partie dans le spectacle et on sait où on veut le mettre, ben, quand on va écrire la musique pour l'universel, on va être sûr que ça enchaîne bien avec le spectacle existant. Donc ça sera vraiment un travail de composition musicale.
Oui, c'est encore du travail, c'est pas juste changer.
Oui, non, c'est pas juste changer, il y a quand même.
Non, c'est pas copier coller, hein. C'est vraiment qu'il faut la route. Ouais. Si quelqu'un me dit une fois que la danse, c'est qu'est-ce qui se passe entre les pas. Bouger d'un pas à l'autre, c'est là où on danse. C'est la même chose avec. It's not just getting from one scene to the other, it's how you go from one step to the other that creates that.
Lots of work. And time. Lots of time.
Is every segment you include in the show come from original movies, or maybe you create some?
Animation. Does everything come from original movies, or was animation created for the show?
Both. There's a lot of new animation. Even John Lasseter was stunned how much new animation was done. Some fantastic, some of the best artists at the studio worked on it, and you know, Captain Hook and Peter Pan, you know, my brain's gonna stop. It's the artist who did the Genie, the original Genie animation, fantastic, did a lot of the animation for the show. All the Pixar did Remy for us from Ratatouille, which was fun. So there's a lot more than anybody expected, I think. Some scenes from the films were actually extended. So like a lot of Lumiere, there are bits of him from the movie, but then we went in and kept animating. So we took the scene and there's new fronts and backs to make him work for the show. So it's very complicated because that's the stuff you have to plan far in advance, what you're going to animate. And in fact, the studio won't animate until you finish your story. It takes a long time because they don't want to animate something that won't be used because it takes so long to hand animate all the stuff, because it was all hand animated except for that.
So, Il y a de l'animation existante des films qui sont dans le show, mais aussi il y a énormément de micro-animations qui ont été créées spécialement pour le film. Et à Rémi, The Ratatouille qui a été créé par Pixar, mais après par le studio d'animation Disney, on a eu Peter Pan, évidemment l'ombre de Peter Pan. Il y avait les parties de lumière qu'on a pris, l'animation existante de lumière du film, et on rajoutait au début, on rajoutait à la fin des scènes pour que ça soit un peu plus long. Et donc tout ça, c'est un travail qui prend énormément de temps, parce qu'à part le mail, tout est fait à la main. Et donc, les studios ne commencent pas ce travail avant qu'on ait l'histoire complète et le script complet, parce que c'est aussi les personnages ont parlé, chanter, ils ne vont pas revenir sur l'animation trois fois. Donc nous, il fallait que ça soit vraiment embêtant pour savoir, voilà, c'est ça l'histoire, c'est ça qu'on veut, c'est ça les scènes. Et après, ils ont commencé à travailler. Donc il y avait énormément de travail et un travail qui est très long aussi.
On est impatients.
Ouais. Comment s'est passé le travail musical pour le spectacle? Comment vous avez choisi les morceaux?
How did we choose the music for the show?
With the music, we chose it by flavors or themes. So it was like Be Our Guest is very fun, and Friend Like Me is comedy, and See the Light is kind of a beautiful romantic ballad, and Out There is the I Want song. So a lot of it was developed on emotion and the beats of the show and what the demands were. And then we start with I'll start again.
Donc en fait la musique elle était choisie pour les saveurs qui sont rajoutées au spectacle. Le style de musique, les thèmes, c'est la fête qui est assez vibrant, c'est un grand numéro. Ensuite, on a Genie Aladdin qui est le côté comique, il y a le côté aventure, il y a le côté un peu plus romantique avec Tangled et Réponse. Et on a le côté vraiment émotionnel, je peux tout faire avec Quasimodo et etc. Donc, c'était vraiment les thèmes et l'esprit de chaque partie de musique qui a informé le choix qui était fait.
So a lot of it starts with just doing piano demos. A lot of the show, I like to use the original voices if we can. So like Jungle Book from the 60s is the original voices that we had to go into the vaults to find the voices. We actually recorded Lumiere again, who was the original voice. And so we actually didn't use the new one. We went back to the original because it was so good when they did it in France.
En fait, les voix et Steven et là, on travaille avec les voix d'origine autant que possible. Donc, le scène de Livre de la Jungle, c'est les voix d'origine de film. Donc, il fallait chercher ces voix et à l'époque, elles n'étaient pas forcément en Pro Tools ordinateur qu'on connaît aujourd'hui, parce que ça, c'est les années 60. Donc, ils ont piégé vraiment dans les archives pour retrouver juste les noms des voix. Aussi pour Lumière, par exemple, on a enregistré Lumière avec la même chanteuse qui a fait l'original, mais on a trouvé que c'était moins pétillant que la version originale qui était enregistrée. Donc en fait, on a pris la version qu'il a enregistrée il y a 15, 20 ans, je crois.
And it was interesting working with Joel because he's a film composer, so he kept waiting for a film. And we didn't have film for him. So a lot of it was storyboards, and he and I would work together, kind of putting the show together musically, because it has so many different flavors.
En fait, Joël est le compositeur, il travaille avec les films. Donc lui, il a tenté de voir le film pour écrire la musique et on n'avait pas de film. Donc c'était vraiment de travailler avec les storyboards qui étaient en fait faire la mesure qui devenait un petit film en réalité. Et chaque passage, c'est lui qui a travaillé vraiment en collaboration avec Joël pour avoir toutes les nuances de chaque partie de l'histoire pour que ça se colle vraiment ensemble.
So it's a very lengthy process to do it. So we do a piano demo, then we do a synth demo, and then all that goes into animation, and eventually we went to Abbey Roads in London and recorded the show, which was big. That was fun.
En fait, ça commence toujours avec
une
demo sur piano. C'est très facile à ajouter, à changer. On enregistre vite fait, et c'est bon. Après, on passe le côté synthé. On rajoute d'ampleur, d'amour. Et après, ils ont continué ce travail, on a mis ça avec le storyboard. Donc on a vraiment presque un film. Et on a emmené ça à Abbey Roads, à Londres, où on a fait l'enregistrement. Et on a fait dans le studio avec un orchestre vraiment magnifique, avec les chanteurs magnifiques. Et on avait le storyboard à l'écran. En fait, quand Joël faisait des chefs d'orchestre, on avait des storyboards qui défilaient devant lui avec un click track, parce que chaque morceau, il fallait que ça soit exactement le bon timing, parce qu'on avait l'animation qui était créée pour cette musique. Donc, si nous, on était pas pile poil avec la musique, l'animation ne sera pas synchro. Donc, c'était vraiment un travail très différent du travail d'un spectacle vivant. On a l'habitude de faire ici, pas vraiment un film non plus, c'est vraiment un mélange de temps.
And then you have the show.
Yes.
Ta-da! And then you spend many nights out here working.
Yes.
J'avais une petite question par rapport à la parade.
Oui.
Dans la version parade des rêves, c'était basé sur l'odorat et chaque chair qui avait sa propre odeur. Est-ce que vous avez conservé, même pour les chars modifiés, les parfums?
C'est un challenge de trouver un odeur magique, mais on y travaille.
Il y aura toujours aussi des parfums ou est-ce qu'ils ont été enlevés?
En fait, je crois qu'on est notre direction, c'est plus dans le visuel. On a voulu travailler avec des nouveaux visuels, donc des nouveaux lumières, des LED qui se voient la journée, les star flash, les paillettes, le côté mieux warpé, les différents traitements de la peinture. Et en fait, notre énergie était mise sur ça et le développement, bien sûr, de la nouvelle type de chorégraphie. Il y a parfois le parfum génial qui en reste et elle est encore là. Et ça aussi, ça nous donne une touche de nostalgie. Parce qu'on a dit, oh oui, je me rappelle bien. Et voilà, ça sort. Ce n'est pas une direction choisie. Parce qu'on avait d'autres.
Mais c'est très long à choisir les parfums pour les gens. Quand on a fait pour la parade à l'origine, on a fait plusieurs soirées. Et on avait les petits flacons test et on mettait ça dans les bureaux. Donc on avait cinq choix de bonbons par exemple, cinq choix de verdure, de gazon coupé. Et on rentrait dans chaque bureau et on essayait de se rappeler lesquels parmi les bureaux on préférait. Et donc on a fait ça pendant plusieurs soirs. Il y avait une pour le char des rêves de pouvoir à l'époque où on voulait créer le feu. Alors on a mis ça dans notre bâtiment et on se croyait vraiment qu'il y avait le feu. Vraiment très très fort. Donc on est sorti chaque fois à la fin de la soirée avec les têtes comme ça. Mais non mais c'était mon souvenir. C'est très long en fait à trouver exactement le bon parfum.
Vous avez une belle parade avant. Est-ce que c'est plus facile de faire quelque chose en faisant un stage de zéro ou c'est plus facile sur une base d'une parole existante?
Les deux. En fait, depuis le début, on a eu les chars de notre grande Disney Classic Parade avec qui on a joué en 92. Et pendant 15 ans, on a toujours utilisé, c'est le chat, mais on les a redécorés, on a fait ce qu'on appelle le overlay, un décor qui ressemble à la même histoire, mais avec un autre, si c'est Noël, si c'est Halloween, etc. Une fois même, on a enlevé tous les héros pour mettre tous les vilains, parce que c'était la parade d'Halloween. Et puis d'avoir eu l'occasion de vraiment commencer scratch, ça nous aussi, c'est un grand départ quand on a fait le Disney Moisson Marie-Jean Curé. Et cette fois-ci, on fait un mix des deux. C'est-à-dire qu'il y a de la nouveau et il y a le wrap-up des choses existantes. Et on verra par la suite. Hein. Je crois que la recette, même Stephen, you can say this, a recipe for a parade can be different every time you do a parade.
When was the decision made to get rid of St. Papa's stage? Was it a hard decision?
When was that decision made? Well, I thought we thought it was a good idea a long time ago, but it took a while to get it to go away.
It was a good idea.
No, I asked that the stage be moved.
That's good.
Just because...
Thank you.
I kept looking at the castle and I could never see it.
Yeah.
And when we brought the executives out, I'm like, you're going to lose half the show. And maybe it's time, and that's what I love about Paris, is that maybe it's a new time to rethink how we're doing the shows and do something totally different. And because a lot of times when you build infrastructure like the stage, it forces you to do things because it's a stage. So if you take that out, then there you start dreaming of new things. Okay, how are we going to do it now? And it also gives it back for special things, so you can do new things. So, hubs are like that. They just need to be, permanent things never work. I think it needs to grow and have an imagination. My fault.
No. Thank you.
I wrote the memo.
Du coup, en dehors de Tarzan cet été, on a plus de spectacles vivants avec des vrais danseurs cette année pour le 20e anniversaire.
Sur les scènes, non. Mais Tarzan revient. Il y a aussi la nouveauté de le 20e, donc avec le Celebration Training, avec Parade, avec... Et on attend voir, hein. Imagine ce game changer qui pourrait être le fait que tous les soirs, il y aura quelque chose de spectaculaire. En fait, on est tous dans la même... direction de voir qu'est-ce que ça va changer par rapport à les visiteurs, les clients et les logements.
Peter Pan avait été bien apprécié l'année dernière aussi, à Grand Tournant.
Yes.
Beaucoup de fans espéraient que ça
se prend. Je ne sais pas si vous avez vu le nouveau galon.
Oui.
On commence à voir.
Oui, un show pourrait revenir.
Est-ce qu'il y aurait un show qui reviendrait sur le gaming comme des
activités? Oui, on verra.
Comme en
2004.
Comme en 2004.
C'est bien.
On vous a dit non qu'il était facultés sur le gaming.
Depuis qu'elle est refaite, ça nous ouvre les opportunités.
Oui.
On vous a pas dit interdiction totale de faire des choses?
Pas du tout.
On ne sait jamais peut-être que...
Obligation totale. Obligation.
Ça
serait
bien.
Mais c'est bien parce que le gaming maintenant, on peut raconter.
Je vous espère
des pirates.
Pour swinguer un peu. Ils ont bien fait le château, on a un gros show. On peut espérer. Est-ce qu'il y a d'autres questions?
Oui, non. Sur un peu aussi de sujet, par rapport au train des personnages, pour lui c'est sa 5e année qui ressort depuis les 15 ans.
Oui.
Est-ce que ça n'aurait pas été l'occasion pour le 20e anniversaire de changer complètement de train? Mais même en ne gardant que le châssis, mais en changeant complètement la structure de l'apparence, en ne gardant pas les couleurs, comme il a été modelé 5 ans auparavant, mais en prenant vraiment un nouveau char, entre guillemets. Quoi.
Je pense que quand on a quelque chose qui marche comme le train, c'est difficile à le remplacer. On pourrait pas faire autre chose avec cette structure du char, en tout cas. Dans ces cas-là, il faudrait les mettre à côté, faire quelque chose, vraiment un nouveau char. Mais après, pour une rencontre comme ça, pour les passagers, ils arrivent dans le parc, le train, c'est vraiment un beau modèle pour faire ça. Hein, on peut faire venir un char de la parade, mais sans le reste de la parade, il y a moins de sens. Donc, je pense que le train, c'est vraiment quelque chose qui devient un classique chez nous. Après, dans l'avenir, on pourrait rajouter, on pourrait changer, peut-être pour les saisons, faire autre chose. Mais je pense que pour l'instant, elle est en cours de vie dans ce train. Nous, on sait qu'on change, mais les visiteurs qui viennent pour la première fois, ils voient comme ça.
Et même si le visiteur revient régulièrement, je ne sais pas le percentage encore, je pense.
C'est sûr.
Non, et vraiment, ça, l'apparence a vraiment changé cette fois. Et je pense que c'est surtout l'idée que le train qui emmène les personnages. Vous savez, à Hong Kong, ils ont la même chose, qui sortent plus ou moins plus quand il pleut. En fait, c'est la version parade quand il pleut. Et moi, j'étais là-bas il y a quelques années, et ils m'ont posé toute la question comment ça fonctionnait, notre train de personnages ici, parce qu'ils étaient très intéressés à faire les choses similaires avec leur train et le wet parade. Je pense qu'on a encore un peu de vie dans le train, et après il va falloir vraiment étudier quelle manière on peut faire venir les personnages dans le parc pour faire ce rencontre devant le château.
Et la vraie question trivia, c'est où vient cette parade, parce que c'est pas le parade, c'est un caractère qui a été créé il y a 5 ans.
Non,
c'est
dans le
parc. Quand
98.
Pour
la parade du monde merveilleux Disney.
Très bien. Just like Alice here in Wonderland. C'était le train de Dumbo qui s'arrêtait avec tous les clowns et qui fait rougir le lion.
Oui.
Voilà. Donc, imaginons, c'est ça, c'est ça qui est fun, aussi, de prendre quelque chose et de faire devenir autre chose.
Il a fait tout le circuit aussi.
Donc tu vois, ce train, il reste près de nous. C'est mon petit train. Ça va? Everything good?
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Bien, on va remercier nos intervenants. Carieux.
You enjoyed all of the audio from that question and answer, but that brings us to the end of the show. So once again, thank you for joining us. We want to thank Juz for joining me.
Always a pleasure, never a chore.
I see. I think it is a chore, really. And we want to thank our sponsors, touringplans.com. Do head over to touringplans.com and check out their Lines app, check out their touring plans, and check out their crowd calendar as well. Really fantastic, really, really great tools if you're going to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disneyland Paris sometime soon. Do make sure you email us your questions, comments, and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. Important question this week: is Cadbury's chocolate in the US better than it is in the UK? You can also ring our voicemail number, which is
407-545-7980.
And you can make sure you check out our website at www.disneybrit.com to follow the latest news and rumours.
To be honest, I was really taken aback because it was Carol.
What?
Exactly. Now you understand why I was in another world there.
Good grief. Check out our Facebook page, our Disney Brit fan page on Facebook. You can find it myself and Juz and Kez, who's not here, but she is with us in spirit. You can leave a review on iTunes. And don't forget, Mouse Mag, the latest edition of Mouse Mag Issue 6, is now available. It's available from the beginning of April. And we've got some really great stuff in there, including 24 hours in a Disney park, the Flower and Garden Festival, and some look at some Disney classic movies as well. You can also check our YouTube channel, Disney Brit Podcast. Find us on there. We've got Iron Orlando, that's still going on. We've got Universal Adventures, we've got Busch Gardens shows, we've got, you name it, we've got a show for it, other than Legoland, I think. So you can check those over on Orlando Sky Radio. And that's pretty much it, I think. And it leaves me with nothing else to say other than the next edition of the Disney Brit Podcast, episode 92, will be available from Wednesday, the 25th of April. It's just before Mouse meets boys and girls. So until then, we'll see you.